Monday through Friday, by the makers of Ovaltine.
Well, sir, there's one thing every mother in America is finding out. Planning meals is a tougher job than it ever was in the good old days before the war. We all know, of course, that there's going to be plenty of food for us all. But with all the new food problems a mother faces these days, it's a whole lot harder to be sure that your family is getting really well-balanced meals, especially meals with all the important vitamins and minerals they should have. Now, that's why mothers everywhere are so relieved to learn that they can rely on Ovaltine to give their families all the extra vitamins and minerals they need. You see, Ovaltine is one of the world's richest sources of vitamins and minerals. 2 glasses of Ovaltine a day and 3 average good meals, including fruit juice, supply all the extra vitamins and minerals any normal person needs. In fact, all the vitamins and minerals any normal person can profitably use, according to scientific authorities. And so you can see why millions these days are relying on Ovaltine and 3 average good meals for all the extra vitamins and minerals that are necessary to tip-top good health. And you can see why mothers particularly are delighted to learn they can turn to Ovaltine to make sure their families are kept fully supplied with all the extra vitamins and minerals needed, particularly in these times. So why don't you give your family a chance to enjoy Ovaltine regularly? Get a can of Ovaltine at your nearby store and try it tonight. And now, on with the thrilling chapter, The Silver Dagger Strikes, with Captain Midnight and the Secret Squadron. In the last adventure, you remember, the combined force of Secret Squadron agents and British troops commanded by Major Aubrey Hackett surrendered to the Nazis unconditionally upon the advice of the Yugoslavian Air Officer Colonel Rooker. Following this, Joyce, Agent SS-11, and Major Hackett were led to the heavily guarded room occupied by Captain Midnight, Chuck Ramsey, and Ichabod Mudd. The group barely had time for a few hurried words together when the Gestapo officer, Baron von Karp, arrived to take Captain Midnight and Chuck before the military court, which is to try them for treason. As Captain Midnight warned Chuck, the procedure did not take long. Within the course of an hour, they were ordered to stand up, and Count Radek read the court's verdict. But to the amazement and consternation of the two, they learned that not only they, but Major Hackett, Joyce, Agent SS-11, and Ichabod Mudd had all been condemned to death. The sentence is ordered to be carried out at daybreak the following morning. As our scene opens now, Captain Midnight and Chuck have been led back to their prison chamber. The door is just closing behind them. Listen as Joyce asks,
"What happened, Captain Midnight? What did they do?"
"Just a second, Joyce. Is Mud awake yet?"
"Yeah, Captain. I was having the doggone dream, and I dreamed..."
"Never mind the dream, Mickey. The reality is probably worse.
Please, Captain Midnight, don't keep us waiting any longer.
We've been convicted of treason. We've been sentenced to death before a firing squad."
"Yeah?"
"And don't misunderstand me. It's not just Chuck and me. Every one of us in this room is in the same boat.
And the rest of you weren't even given a chance to appear before the court."
"But, Chuck, that doesn't make any difference. The only thing I can't understand is why they didn't just take us all out and shoot us without a trial."
"Well, to be frank about it, Kelly, I don't know either. But that's the workings of the Nazi mind. It'll be written up as a regular court-martial."
"Well, it's about 9 o'clock now. When does it get daylight?"
"About 6. That gives us 9 hours to think about it."
"And it gives us 9 hours to think about a lot of other things, too."
"Well, gee, Captain Midnight, what do you mean? Do you think we have any chance at all?"
"Yes, Joyce, I do. I don't know just how or when, but I do know that we must be ready if the opportunity comes."
"Gee, we must be careful. Nobody knows. Nobody's listening to us."
"Well, there's no one around except the guard. He's outside."
"Just to be sure, we'd better talk in very low tones."
"Did something happen at the trial, Captain Midnight? Something that might lead you to think we had a chance?"
"Yes, Major, it did. When Chuck and I arrived there, we were surprised to see both Agent 3F11 and Colonel Rooker on the military court."
"Well, I'll be a grease monkey's uncle. Yeah, but what happened, Captain?"
"Well, Captain Midnight and I are not absolutely sure, but we think both of them tried to convey some kind of a message to us."
"Yeah?"
"Gee, money! Well, then maybe Colonel Rooker's trying to help us after all."
"I think he is, Joyce. And I think perhaps he knows something that we don't. Perhaps he wanted to avoid an open battle."
"But what about 3F11? Was he in uniform?"
"Yes, Mr. Kelly, he was in the uniform of the guerrilla army."
"And that means he'd been able to get rid of those priest's robes we saw him wearing and change into his uniform."
"And not only that, his features seemed different. He's sure awfully good at disguising himself.
Well, it all comes down to this. We have almost 9 hours before they lead us out before the firing squad. We must be on watch every second to help those who are trying to help us. And I think we'd better get organized for that right now.
You're right, Major Hackett. Now, Ben, here's the way I look at it. Either Agent 3F11 or Colonel Rooker, or perhaps both, will try to contact us in some way. We must be prepared for that moment when it comes. We only have the one window and the door. We'll take turns standing on guard at those points. Chuck, you take the window for the time being.
Yes, sir.
And Major Hackett, you take the door.
Very good, Captain.
Talking isn't going to get us out of here. And the quieter we remain, the more alert we'll be. All right, now, Chuck, you and Major Hackett take your posts. And the rest of us will remain in the center of the room.
Well, how about me, Captain McKnight? I caught a little sleep. I'll be okay for a couple of hours.
You won't have to stay on guard for 2 hours, Icky. I'm making these one-hour shifts so that everyone will keep awake. Now, suppose you take the window.
Okay, Captain.
Well, how about me, Captain Midnight? I'll take the door.
All right, Joyce. You take the door for an hour.
Okay, sir.
Gee, sir, it's awfully dark. There's a candle on the table. We could light that if we wanted to.
I'd rather not, Chuck. We can see what's going on outside better without any light. Where's Major Hackett?
Here I am, Captain Midnight. Anything I can do for you?
No, Major, not at the moment. But I have a feeling that something will happen soon.
But what makes you think that, sir? If anybody was going to try to contact us, they'd have done it a long time ago.
No, Chuck. I think if anyone was trying to get to us, he'd wait until the camp had quieted down.
I believe you're right, Kelly. And from now on, we must be more alert than we've been before.
Of course, sir, I don't see how anyone's going to get past that guard. Well, he just walks between this window and the guardhouse door. No one could possibly get near the building without attracting his attention.
Hey, listen, Captain Midnight.
Yes, that guard stopped marching. Something has attracted his attention.
Maybe Mud can see from the window. Icky, yeah, can you see anything?
Yeah, I can. Something's going on outside the guardhouse door.
Is that our guard we can hear talking?
No, it ain't. That must be the captain of the guard. Somebody's standing out there talking to him.
Hey, they're coming inside.
I say, what's going on? Maybe they're coming for us already.
No, I don't think so. But someone's outside that door. Come back here, Joyce.
Yes, sir.
Here is a priest to see you. It is a privilege for those who are about to die.
Yes, we'd like to see a priest. It's only right that we should see one.
Then you shall see one. Be sure that your last prayers are good ones.
Who's there?
I think you'll know who I am.
Agent 3F11.
Be careful, Chuck.
Oh, I had a little difficulty, believe me. But I finally made it. I might have been able to see you before, but the guard said you hadn't been condemned yet.
We haven't much time. How long can you stay here?
Oh, there's no hurry. The guard will think it strange if I don't stay in here sometime. I have a message of hope for you.
Oh, thank heavens for that. What is it?
I haven't been suspected yet, so I've been able to learn many things. The Yugoslavian troops will move to new positions this afternoon. Positions of great strategic value. I found out that Baron von Kopp wanted them returned to their old quarters, but they're not to be returned until tomorrow morning.
Chuck and I both thought you were trying to convey some kind of a message to us during the trial.
Yes, I was, but I didn't dare go too far. I merely wanted to assure you that I was doing what I could.
And we sure understood that, sir. Do you know anything more about Colonel Rooker and the Silver Dagger Group?
I know there's something afoot. Colonel Rooker has conferred secretly with several of his officers, among them the young Captain Dimovich.
Listen to that, Captain Midnight. Maybe Milan didn't lie to you after all.
I don't think he did, Chuck. I think he told me the truth. I believe the Silver Dagger is trying to help us.
They'll have to move quickly. But if they don't move in time, I'll do what I can.
But great Scott, 3F11. What can you do alone?
I shall be present at the execution. I shall be close to Count Radek and Baron von Karp and have a small pistol. It'll be enough for them.
But you can't do that, man. You may kill them, but it won't save our lives. Moreover, you'll lose with us. No. Someone must get away from here. Someone must get back to England and tell what's happened.
I don't think I shall ever reach England again, Captain Midnight. Well, if anything happens to you, I must go on a long and difficult journey, and already I think the Gestapo is on my trail.
Oh, I'd forgotten something. You took a terrible chance in making your way here from Germany, and you certainly didn't do that for nothing.
No, Captain Midnight, I did not. I came to find you because I have information of tremendous significance. As events may turn out, you may leave here alive, and I may not. If you do, I want you to know what's locked in my brain.
Very well, 3F11. Do you wish to tell me this alone?
Yes, Captain Midnight, I think that would be better.
Very well. Chuck, Agent SS-11 and Major Hackett, you will please take positions with the others at the door and the window.
All right, Captain.
Yes, Captain.
All All right, 3 of 11. We're alone now.
Yes, Captain Midnight. I'll try to make it short because I mustn't stay in here too long. I left Germany 6 days ago. And the day I left marked the end of one of the most valuable agents the United Nations have possessed.
Who do you mean?
You know him well. In fact, you helped send him into Germany.
You don't mean the Frenchman Pierre Simon, do you?
I don't know his name, Captain Midnight. But his identification was 3F9.
Yes, he's the one. He was given his choice of being shot or going to Germany as a slave for the Nazis. He took the latter because he was given contacts with the underground in Germany.
Yes, and through those contacts, I met him. We worked well together. Afraid of being caught, he gave me your code and my identification of 3F11.
Yes, and believe me, you've been of invaluable assistance to us.
But you can't play with fire long without being burned. I'm afraid my day is almost up. But to go on with my story. 6 days ago, I met 3F9 by appointment on a crowded street in Berlin. I didn't know it when I met him, but I found out almost immediately he was being pursued by the Gestapo.
But knowing he was being pursued by the Gestapo, he took a fearful chance in making an appointment with you.
Right, Captain Midnight. He knew he was endangering me, but he had information of tremendous importance. He would probably have tried to send you a code radio message if there'd been time.
Great guns. He must have had vitally important information. What in the world?
Just a second. First, I must tell you what happened. I met him in the crowd. He didn't even bother with a word of greeting. Looking around him with a hunted look, he passed me a slip of paper and then was about to say something when he saw someone in the crowd. I saw a look in his eyes that I knew only too well. Like a flash, he turned his back on me and was gone. Knowing the signs, I slipped off in the crowd as fast as I could, but I'd only gone a few steps when the blow fell.
You mean the Gestapo?
Yes, the Gestapo. They seized 3F9 before he could get away. I began taking steps to help him at once, but it was already too late.
He was dead?
Yes. Do you know what the Gestapo did to him first?
Yes, I know only too well. Do you suppose he talked?
I don't hold any illusions, Captain Midnight. Only the bravest of men can go through an ordeal like that with lips closed.
Yes, I know. And if 3F9 confessed anything, you're in terrible danger.
More than that, Captain Midnight. The Nazis will be warned. Warned that the secret's leaked out.
Secret? What secret?
The secret of the new Nazi weapon. The peril that'll destroy 1 million men in a flash.
Kneeling in the blackness of that prison chamber, Captain Midnight stares at the British agent in amazement and consternation. What sinister secret can this be? A secret which has already cost the life of one Allied undercover agent, and which has caused 3F11 to make this frightfully dangerous journey into Yugoslavia to tell Captain Midnight. We must not forget that Captain Midnight and his comrades are in dire peril of their lives. What will happen in the lonely hours that remain before daylight? Be sure to be with us as we continue this thrilling chapter, The Silver Dagger Strikes. But before we go, just remember this. Don't ever get Ovaltine confused with ordinary chocolate flavorings for milk, or with skim milk drinks that are delivered to your home in bottles, or with any other drinks that merely supply a few vitamins and minerals. Remember, Ovaltine twice a day and 3 average good meals give you all the extra vitamins and minerals you need for tip-top health. So be sure you get the genuine every time, the one and only Ovaltine. For only Ovaltine can give you Ovaltine results. And tune in tomorrow, same time, same station, to Captain Midnight. Until tomorrow, then, this is Pierre André, your Ovaltine announcer, saying goodbye and happy landing. This program came to you from Chicago. Captain Midnight! Every day, Monday through Friday, by the makers of Ovaltine. And now, let me ask you one simple question. Can you give me the name of a delicious, appetizing drink that is also one of the richest sources of vitamins and minerals in the world? What's that? Yes, you're right. It's Ovaltine. Millions of people in all parts of the world can give the correct answer to that question. But just how rich in vitamins and minerals do you think Ovaltine is? Well, let's see. Here are the facts. If you just drink one glass of Ovaltine each night and morning and get three average good meals a day, including fruit juice, you'll be getting all the extra vitamins and minerals you need. Not just two or three, but all of the vitamins and minerals a normal person needs for tip-top health. In fact, you'll get all that experts say a normal person can profitably use. Now, that's how rich Ovaltine is in these vital food elements. Now, you fellows and girls who are listening in, find out whether Mother and Dad know that Ovaltine is one of the richest sources of vitamins and minerals in the world. Make sure they know how Ovaltine can furnish you with all the extra vitamins and minerals you need in a swell tasting food drink that everybody goes for. Why, say, they'll want you to start drinking Ovaltine right away and send you out to the store for a can of Ovaltine this very night. Now, on with the action-packed chapter, The Secret Squadron Strikes, with Captain Midnight. Now, in the last adventure, the Secret Squadron commander finally contacted Lieutenant Zoller, the Gestapo officer, who's an agent of the underground party in Germany. Zoller agreed with Captain Midnight that the Nazis intended to use their sinister new weapon without much further delay. This belief is strengthened when Baron von Karp issues orders that the guard around the tunnel east of the town is to be doubled. At the time the Gestapo officer gave this order, Captain Midnight and Anton Petrovic had already reached the small room directly above Baron von Karp's office and heard the Gestapo officer's instructions to Lieutenant Zoller. The scene carries on at once. Captain Midnight and Comrade Petrovic have crept softly to the door of the upstairs room. Listen as Captain Midnight whispers anxiously.
Is it safe to talk here, Petrovic?
No, Captain Midnight. We had better go into the next room. I will open the door. Step forward, Captain Midnight. I will follow you.
Very good.
Now we are safe. You see that the time is very short.
Yes. Baron von Karp's order to Lieutenant Zoller makes that quite clear.
Now it will be more difficult to enter the tunnel than before.
That's too bad those guards picked up our trail. They'll be on the alert.
That cannot be helped. But earlier tonight, you told me you had a plan.
I do have, Anton. It wouldn't be possible to enter that tunnel unless the attention of the guards could be distracted in some way.
Yes. Yes.
The Nazi soldiers in this district are becoming more and more afraid of the plane, which appears so mysteriously at night. We'll see how our plan works out when we attack the supply depot to the west. If it works there, we could use the same plan at the tunnel.
I think that could be done. When the plane dives low, the guards will be watching the sky. There will be much excitement. That will be the time to enter the tunnel.
Yeah, that's the way it should work out. But now, it's getting late. Joyce and I must leave the village so as to arrive in the valley before daybreak.
And I must wait for Lieutenant Zoller to issue the passes. I have a good idea.
Fine, Petrovic. What is it?
I will have the pass, and that will give me the permission to be away from the village. Baron von Karp has ordered that we should search the countryside for any secret landing fields. Therefore, it will not be necessary for me to return tomorrow night.
I think I see what you're getting at. You want to join us when we raid the Nazi supply depot?
Yes, Captain Midnight. That is what I should like to do.
Well, believe me, I'd be only too glad to have you. But Baron von Karp will be very angry if you don't have some information to bring back to him.
That can be arranged, Captain Midnight. many miles to the north, there are the farmers who have heard a mysterious plane flying low. Perhaps it was landing or taking off in that vicinity.
So you sent Baron von Karp on a wild goose chase?
Yes. And afterwards, we will have some more of the same information for him.
I see.
Now you had better go. But do not forget that Baron von Karp has communicated with the Luftwaffe. Very soon, there will be many planes flying overhead.
There's another plane, Captain Midnight.
Yes, Joyce. We'll have to wait a few seconds.
If we have to wait much longer, we won't reach the valley before daybreak.
Yes, we must go this time. If this plane follows the same procedure as the others, he'll dive low and switch on his landing lights. And that very fact has a big advantage for us.
How's that, Captain Midnight?
The glare blinds everyone for a few seconds. The darkness following seems darker than before. And the roar of the engine prevents footsteps from being overheard.
Gee, that's right. The plane's getting awfully close.
Yes, he's going to do the same thing again. He'll switch on his lights and sweep the village. The second he passes, we'll start running for the stream. We can get to it and across before he can bank and return. By the time he switches his lights on again, he should be in that clump of bushes.
And Fedor is waiting there for us. We'd better get ready, sir.
He's getting closer. His landing light should go on any second.
They're on. Gee, me, they make the whole village as bright as day.
Get set now. As soon as it starts getting dark, I'll get the word.
I'm ready, sir.
It's beginning to get black. All right, now start running.
Right.
Just a little bit more. We'll reach the stream.
Gosh, I hope the guards can't see us.
I'm sure they can't. This idea of having planes patrol over the village is going to help us more than hurt us.
I think so, too. Gee, we must be almost to the stream.
We're coming to it now. Be careful. Don't stumble. It'll be hard to see those stepping stones.
Oh, my eyes are getting used to the darkness. I can see the first one right ahead of me.
All right. You start across. I'll be right behind.
Okay, sir.
We're in the middle now. Just a little bit farther to go.
The plane must have banked.
Yes. This is coming back. We're almost across. Hurry, but don't fall into the water.
I'm across, sir.
Yeah, so am I. Clump of bushes is just ahead. We've made a choice. We'll see Chuck and Nicky in a couple of hours.
Who's there?
Quick, Chuck. Open up.
Open loose. It's Captain Midnight.
Oh, gee, Chuck, I'm glad to see you. Where's Nicky?
Here I am, George. I was just catching a little shut-eye in the back room. But when I heard that knock on the door, I sure come out of it in a hurry.
Oh, isn't it wonderful that we're all together again?
Boy, I'll sure say it is. Seems like a million years since we left you on the edge of the village.
Yeah.
And from what we heard from Fedor, you must have had a lot of trouble.
Yes, Chuck, we did. And we're lucky to be back here alive. If it hadn't been for Fedor, we wouldn't have escaped from the Nazi soldiers at the tunnel.
Yeah, he told us about leading you down that cliff. Boy, howdy, it's sure a good thing I wasn't along. I'd have got dizzy looking down and fallen clear to the bottom.
Oh, no, you wouldn't, Dickie. Why, you could do a lot of things you didn't think you could when your life depends on it.
But what's happened in the village, sir? Fedor told us you didn't find out much about the secret weapon except the lay of the land around the tunnel.
Yes, Chuck, that's all we accomplished. But something did happen before we left the village that'll be of tremendous help.
Well, gosh, sir, what was it?
I had a talk with Lieutenant Zoller.
Blazing beacons, listen to that.
Well, grind my valves. What do you have to say, Captain?
Mainly this. The Nazis know now that defeat is inevitable for them unless a miracle happens.
And I guess you know what that miracle would have to be.
Yes, I guess I do. They'd have to use their secret weapon.
That's it, Chuck. And I don't think they're going to wait long.
Well, what in heck are we going to do about it, Captain?
I have a plan worked out, Icky. But it'll take several days to put it into effect. Everything must be done right, or the whole plan will fail.
Well, what about the raid on the supply depot?
We're going ahead with that. These guerrillas must have food and guns and ammunition.
And Anton Petrovic's going to join us.
Loop and loop, that's swell. We've got everything arranged here, Captain Midnight. Now, where's that map, Icky?
Here it is, Chuck. I'll spread it out on his table.
Yeah. Ah.
There she is.
Here's the depot, sir. You see? It runs along the railroad tracks for several hundred yards.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's a big warehouse filled with food. And at the other end is an ammunition dump.
Now, here's the way we got it figured out. The guerrillas will be divided into three companies, see? They'll cross the hills at three different places, and then each company will approach the depot from a different side.
I see.
And then as they get close, they'll spread out. And everything will be timed so that every man will be in position at exactly 12 o'clock.
And at exactly 12, Icky and I will dive on the depot with wide open engine. Every Nazi guard will be watching us.
And then, at that moment, we strike.
That's right. What do you think of it, Captain Midnight?
I think it's a great plan. Anton Petrovic will be here early in the morning, and we'll go over it with him. But I feel sure that he'll approve. Then we'll sleep all day and be ready to hit the trail at dark.
Listen to that plane, Captain Midnight. That's something we didn't figure on.
That's one of the planes Baron von Karp ordered to patrol this district. I don't think we have to worry about them as long as we don't show any lights.
Yeah, that's one thing you've got to be awful careful about.
Here comes Petrovic, sir.
Captain Midnight, my men are ready to move. The first company, commanded by Comrade Sergei, has the longest distance to go. So it will start first.
We better not start marching while that plane is overhead. With so many men moving at once, the pilot might catch a glimpse of them.
Comrade Sergei is waiting for a signal from me, and they will not move until I give it.
All right, we'll wait a few seconds and see if the plane won't fly away. Now then, Chuck, are you and Icky all set with your plane?
Yes, sir. Icky checked it this morning.
The only thing is, Captain, we don't have hardly any gas left.
Well, we'll see what we can do about that tonight. I'm hoping there'll be plenty of trucks at that depot, and we'll be able to use them to carry off some of the supplies we need. Now then, what time are you going to take off, Chuck?
Well, not any earlier than necessary, sir. I figured I'd take off at 15 minutes of 12 and climb to an altitude of 5,000 feet. And then at 1 minute before 12, I'll start my power dive over the depot.
That should make it just right. That plane has turned to the east, Petrovic. I think it's safe to give your signal to Sergei.
Very good, Captain Midnight. He is waiting for me to raise my arm. There.
There they go. Gee, Manee, look at the way they march. They sure mean business.
And we must start also. You and Miss Joyce will go with the third company, Captain Midnight. And I shall accompany the second. Just before the attack, I shall join you.
All right. Come on, Joyce. Happy landings, Chuck. Happy landings, Zicky.
How much farther, Captain Midnight?
We're almost there. I can see the railroad track directly ahead.
Well, this must be as far as we go. The gorillas have stopped and are spreading out.
Yes, Joyce. Won't be long now. I can see the shape of a huge building across the track. That must be the warehouse.
Oh, there's someone coming up behind us. It's Anton Petrovic.
Captain Midnight, all the men are in their places. And I think they are just in time. It is now almost 12 o'clock.
Well, gosh, sir, I'm afraid Chuck and Icky are behind.
That's Chuck and Icky now. Get set for the attack.
The plane's starting its power dive.
Let's go.
With a furious roar, the Nazi plane, flown by Chuck and Mud, power dives on the Nazi supply depot. At the same moment, Comrade Petrovic's tough gorillas charge from every side. And in the front ranks are Captain Midnight and Joyce. What will happen in the next few seconds? Will Captain Midnight's plan work? Will the Nazi guards be caught by surprise? Don't miss the thrilling moments as we continue this fast-moving chapter, The Secret Squadron Strikes. And now, just one question. Have you had any trouble buying Ovaltine? If so, don't give up, because the shortage will be only temporary. It's just that government orders are keeping us very busy these days, and lots of other folks want Ovaltine, too. But there'll be plenty to go around. Just phone or call back again in a day or so, and your grocer or druggist is bound to have more Ovaltine in stock, or he'll be able to get it for you. Or if you need it quickly, you can undoubtedly get it at once from another nearby store. Meantime, remember, the makers of Ovaltine are doing all they can to see that you're kept supplied with your full share of Ovaltine. And tune in tomorrow, same time, same station, to Captain Midnight. Until tomorrow, then, this is Pierre André, your Ovaltine announcer, saying goodbye and happy landing!
This program comes to you from Chicago. This is the Blue Network.